Okay, everybody, so we're starting a brand new perek today, Daf Yud Ches, and we're going to learn about Hilchos Kohen Gadol. It's not totally new, because the reason why this Mishnah begins with Kohen Gadol is because that was discussed at the end of the first Mishnah back on Daf Beis when we began our Masechta. If you notice, the bottom Tosis points out that the reason why we start our perek with Kohen Gadol is because at the end of the first Mishnah, we spoke about Kohen Gadol, and we continue talking about Kohen Gadol. But after that, we're going to come back to the Dinim, like the Dinim Mominus Bishloisha, that we started off our parak. Anyway, what does our Mishnah say? Kohen Gadol, Don, the Don in Oisai. Number one, he can be a Dayan, the Don in Oisai, and he can also be a person brought to Bezdin to be Dan him. What's the Chiddush? We'll see Mitchum in the Gemara shortly. He can go and say testimony for somebody else, and people can go and say testimony about him, for him, against him.
That's exactly the same thing as was said right before.
Exactly. Well, Don means that he can be a Dayan. Don and Oisa means he could be the subject of litigation. Maidamidin Oisa means that he can go and say testimony, and people can say testimony about him. What you're probably saying is that Maidin Oisa and Don and Oisa is basically synonymous. Probably done in terms of symmetry and style. Since we said done and medalin, we say meir and meidin. And choylitz v'choltzin. Choylitz v'choltzin li'ishtay. Choylitz means that one of his brothers passed away, leaving over an almana without children. He can go and do a chalitza together with her. V'choltzin li'ishtay, if the kohen gadol passes away, and he leaves over a brother or brothers, they can be choylitz to his wife. U'miyabanis ishtay. And they can go and be miyabim his wife. Abahu ain't a miyabim, but he cannot be miyabim his brother's wife. Neshehu aser bealmana. We know the loch is the gabi koyin godol. Torah said befeirish. An almana grusha, he's not allowed to go and take an almana, so he's not allowed to take an almana. By definition, every single yivama is an almana. Almana min eris, an almana min yisur, an almana. What is going to ask? Why don't we go and say Esse Doicha Lois Esse? Itchem, that's going to be tomorrow's Gemara. That's a sugim beginning of Masechtas Yevamos. But anyway, so if Chas Shalom, if the Kohen Gadol's brother passed away, he cannot go be miyabim his former sister-in-law. Why? Because he's not allowed to marry no mother. Meis loy meis. What happens if the Kohen Gadol loses one of his immediate seven kroivim, which a regular kohen would be allowed to metame to one of those kohen? However, kohen gadol is a kohen gadol. The pasuk says, "Min hamikdash lo yetze," and therefore, meis le'meis, even though it's one of his close relatives, his parents, chas v'sholem, his wife, his children, his brother, his sister that was never married, achoy sepsula, meis le'meis ene yetze achra mita. He's not allowed to get even close to the mita. Why can't he get close? Because we're afraid if he gets too close, Chas v'Shalom, he might go and touch the mitzvah, or might be mile on the mitzvah, so therefore he has to stand back. Now, how much does he have to stand back? Zok the Mishnah, El hei nichsen v'hu nigla, hei niglen v'hu nichse. It's got to be that he's so far away that when he gets close, he can no longer see the people carrying the aron. His hein is referring to the Oroin bearers, the people that are carrying the Oroin. Nichsen, when they are out of sight, from Lashon Mechusa, when you can no longer see them, they're no longer visible. V'hu nigla, and then he can appear on the scene. When hey niglen, when they are visible, when you can see them, v'hu nichsen, and he has to go and be covered up. He should not see them. So Rashi explains that means that they are, for instance, going from one street to the other street, from one mavoi to the other mavoi. When they cross, when they are ready, for instance, turn the corner, and you can no longer see them, then the Kohen Gadol is allowed to walk down that street. Once he's about to turn the corner, then they have to make sure that they've already turned the next corner. So they cannot be seen at the same time, all because of this chashash that he might get too close to the Oren.
What about a kind of point of mess in the field?
Oh, so Rabbi Cohen points out that there is one exception to the rule. and that is if you have a meis mitzvah, that even a kohen gadol is allowed to be metame. That's absolutely correct. Meis mitzvah is oil al kulana, even if the kohen gadol happens to be a nozir, and therefore he has two kedushas, kedushas nozir and kedushas kohen gadol. If you have a meis mitzvah, you're allowed to be metame. Not only allowed to, he's a chiv to be metame to go and bury the mess. The yoytzi moen ad pesach sharu ir divra meir. Normally, and a close relative would go all the way to the Beis HaChayim. Since he's a Kohen Gadol, he only goes to Pesach Shaar Eir, to the end of that city, and typically the Beis HaChayim would be outside the gates of the city, and so therefore he would not go beyond the gates, he would stay inside. Divra Meir. If he is in the Beis HaMikdash at the time that the family member passed away, he stays in the Beis HaMikdash. Mishim Shenema Min HaMikdash Lo Yetze. So it's not that, like the Tanakhama says, that he follows after the Aron but far away. He doesn't even go to the Levi, he stays in the Mikdash. What does the Tanakhama do with his posik? Zokter Rashi, he learns when a Mikdash means the word Mikdash is not referring to the base of Mikdash. The referring Mikdash is that the Kohen Gadol himself is a Mokoy Mikdash in the sense that he is full of the Kedushas Kahuna Gedoyla. From that Kedusha Lo Yetzeh, he's not allowed to do anything that would weaken or dilute that Kedusha.
That's a distinction. Okay,
if you will. If you look at the Rashi, right after the beginning of the Mishnah, Kohen Gadol Yotzi Achra Mita Dilma Osel Minga. Number one, don't get close to the Mita, he might touch it. V'hainu di Azakra. And that's what the Pasuk is talking about. Uminam Bigdash Lo Yetzeh, Mikdushas Lo Yetzeh. Kloima Yisrachik Min Akira, stay away from Averois, Shlo Yovu Lidei Toma. And that cross took my Kohen Gadol Oinen, because the previous Pasuk said, Lo'ovel Imoi Lo Yitam. The next Rashi, Hei Nechsen Hu Nigla, Kishahein Yoitzim Mobi Zeh, V'nechnos L'mobi Acher, when the people that are carrying the Oroin leave one Mobi and they're now entering the other Mobi, V'nechsen M'mobi Orishin, and therefore they are covered, they are no longer visible to the people in the Mobi Rishin, She'ena roya oisan, you can't even see them. Then who nigla v'nichnas l'mavi rishon? Then he can enter the mavi rishon because they've already left. V'hein nichsin mimavi asheni v'nigla v'nichnas l'toychad. So now when they go through the mavi sheni and they're no longer visible in the mavi sheni, because they have left into the mavi shlishi or into the rishus harabim or where have you, then he's allowed to go and follow after them into the mavi sheni. So they never can be seen at the same time. Always when they are no longer visible, then he can appear on the scene. Now continuing the Mishnah, about 10 lines in. Ukishuhu menachem acherim, what happens if he is doing nichum avelim? Derech olam oivin bezeh acher zeh. Then the people would go and follow one after the other. So where Rashi explains it, this is talking about after the Levaya is over, and after their people are returning from the Beis HaChaim, and as we know, the minig today is you make a shura. Rashi points out they also had the same minig of shura. However, the way Rashi portrays the shura is different than the way we have a shura today. The way we have a shura today, Chas Shalom, anybody who's ever been to a Beis HaChaim knows, what you do is have all of the menachamim, all those that are consoling the mourners, they make a double line, if you will. You have, for instance, if you have 20 menachemim, 10 will be on one long line, 20 on the other long line, and then you ask the avelim to walk between those two lines, or those two rows, and as they walk through, everybody says to them, Amoki menachem eschem, until they've walked through, and they've passed all 20 people. Rashi says that the shura that we're talking about over here is not that the avelim walked between shuras, but rather the avelim stood on one place, and all of the people made a shura and passed in front of them, one after the other, saying, Hamokim Menachem Eschem. Since the Kohen Gadol is a person of very great stature, he doesn't walk together in the same row, in the same line with everybody else, but rather, you have the full line of people standing one in back of the other, one in front of the other. And then you have the Kohen Gadol, who's going to go on his own in his own shura. And then to his right, there's going to be his mamuna, like his right-hand man, so to speak, like his shamas. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol will be walking between not two shurais, but between a shura of anoshim, people that are being menachem, and between his mamuna on the other side, and he's going to walk in between them. If you look at the Rashi, ukishahu menachem, it's a Rashi, b'shura, when people are passing by in a shura, in a line, in a row, kishachoizim mikvoris ameitz, she'ein ha'shaloi, Rashi stresses she'ein shaloi, because we just said now that he doesn't go all the way to the Beis HaChayim, for meis loy meis, for someone in his immediate family, but rather he stays at the Shari Yair. Here we're talking about mikvaras ameis she'ein shaloi. It's nothing to do with his mishpoche. Derech kolam oyvim zeachazeh. So the meaning is now that the passes by one after the other. Menachem is avel she'oyim mamadu, who stands in one place. So the Kohen Gadol also passes by. However, that's the skana kehanim, that's like the deputy kohen. He allows the kohen gadol to be memutza in between. The mamuna stands on the right side, and the kohen gadol is in between the people on the left and the mamuna on the right, and then everybody passes by the ovel to be menachem of. And continue the Mishnah, ukishu misnachem me'achidim, if chas v'shalom the Kohen Gadol is sitting shiva, and people are being menachem him, or nochemim neshura, when he's standing there, and people are passing by, kol ha'am oimim, like people say to him, onu kaparoscha, v'u oimim lehem tisporuchu min ha'shamayim. This onu kaparoscha is similar to the minhag that one says by an ovel, during the first year after the passing of a father or mother, you say, Hareini kaporis mishkovai. I should be like the kapora for that individual. So here too, the people are being menachem, the Kohen Gadol, and they're saying, Onu kaporoscha, we should be like the kapora, and that we should take a little bit of the sin, if you will, on us, and therefore lighten your burden. Actually, it's Onu kaporoscha, bonu miskaper ato, vanachnu tachtecha. We should be able to go and shoulder some of your burden. The chaleroi lavi alecha, chas v'shalom, anything that should come upon you, it should come upon us. We want to be your substitute. We want to be your replacement. V'oim lehen, and therefore in gratitude, says the Kohen Gadol to all of them, says Baruch Hu Hashemayim izol zayin gebenched. In other words, halavai, I shouldn't need your kapara, you shouldn't need to be mechaper me, but for your gracious offer, I am benching you to sparach. Ukishim mavrenoi say, as we know, this a concept of sudas havroa. Sudas havroa means the very first seuda that an ovel eats. He should not eat from his own, but this should be supplied by neighbors and other people. There's always a meaning by sudas havroa that they shouldn't eat from your own, but people go and bring food from outside. Is normally what happens is the ovel sits on the ground, and the consolers, the other people, they sit on normal benches, on normal chairs. However, because of the Kohen Gadol, it's the other way around. Shema ben Oisei kol amusubin al aretz. The rest of the people that came to Menachem, they sit on the ground for Meisav al asafsel, and he sits elevated above them on a safsel, on a chair or on a bench. So until now we spoke about the Kohen Gadol, and now the Mishnah goes off to the Melech. Hamelech loydon v'loydon an oisei. He cannot be a dayan, and we are not dan him. Exactly how broad are the parameters of this, we'll see in the Gemara. Loy meyid, it's beneath his dignity that he should come to Bezin to go and be meyid, to go and say testimony. Loy meyid an oisei, we're not meyid about him. Loy choylitz v'loy choltzin li'ishtoi. Loy miyabam v'loy miyabam li'ishtoi. Loy choylitz, he doesn't go and participate in a chalitza, meaning that if his brother Chas v'Shalom passed away and left over a yevama, lo yicholitz, he doesn't do a chalitza. The reason why he doesn't do a chalitza, explains Rashi a little bit later. Rashi's not here of an art. Rashi is on New Testament base. Rashi says because it's demeaning for the Kohen Gadol, not the Kohen Gadol, for the Melech, to participate in a ceremony which involves spittle, which involves reik. In a regular case, that's Xeris Akasim and Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the Melech, he shouldn't get involved because it denigrates the high, lofty position of the Melech. For Lecholtz and Ishtoi, there's no din of Chalitza for the Melech's wife. If the Melech passes away without children, the brother doesn't have a mitzvah of making a Chalitza. And similarly, Lo Miyam, he shouldn't be Miyabim, his sister-in-law. Why shouldn't he be miyam his sister-in-law, says Rashi? Because every yavam, by participating, his yokum al shem ochiv hameis. We normally think of it, Pasha Pshad, as referring to the child. But Chazal Dash of Yibachor is referring to the miyabe. He should be instead of the replacement for Ochev Ameis. And it's passage that the Melech should go and demote himself from that of the high, lofty status of a Melech to that of his brother who was just a commoner.
If his brother dies childless and his sister is nobody else to release her, she's going to live the rest of her life?
So as we'll see in another few lines, this man Yema holds that nobody's allowed to marry the almana of the Kohen, not of the Kohen, of the Melech anyway.
Well, that's not from his sister-in-law. His brother, the crown prince, the next in line for succession is married. He's married to Shprinza. He dies. Shprinza, there's no other brother, just the king and his... And
that's what would come out from our Mishnah, from the Tanakhama.
She'd be trapped. She'd be trapped as a Naguna the rest of her life.
I wouldn't say she'd be trapped. She would have the status of a Naguna for the rest of her life, according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda, by the way, respectfully disagrees, and Mitchum will learn more about this tomorrow in the Gemara. But it says, if he wishes to go and waive his right, so to speak, he has the right to do so, and Zochalatoiv, we will remember him for good. No, we don't allow him to be Choylitz or Miyabim, because it's denigrating to the position of being the Melech. Like we just said a moment ago, you cannot go and marry the almana of the Melech. A regular person cannot be Noise Almanose, but Noise Amelech Almanose Shomelech. The next king, he could marry the Alman of the prior king. She came with Tina Medavid. She knows Almanose, Shel, Shaul, Shinema. That in the Chos Besa. The Nechabes, Neshe Adoin Nechabechekecha. Not only are we going to go and give the Besa Adoin, the palace of the king, but also even his wife is going to be your, you'll be able to go and take his wife for your own wife. So one melech is allowed to marry the almana of the prior melech. That's why Rabbi Yehuda Lishitasi holds, that's why we have to allow for the release of the almana of the melech, because otherwise she wouldn't be able to remarry, because loisia eishas ameisa chutzal ishzar. So to be able to go and marry, we will allow for a brother of the king to go and be choletz l'ishtoi, to go and free her from being the bond of the zika, so she'll be able to then go and marry the other melech, Rabbi Yehuda Lishitasa. Jok Digmar, we started off the Kohen Gadol Don v'Don Oisa. Fei Digmar, Kohen Gadol Don. Pshita, why shouldn't he be able to be one of the Chavri HaBesdin? He's certainly qualified, we assume. So, Pshita, the Chadav Parshi can be done. So, to Don Oisa, it's Trichalei. That we can be done him, that he could be the subject of this court case. Fei Digmar, Hananami Pshita. Why not? Why would I think differently? So tomorrow, because I loy danin and lay, iu heichi dayin. Voksiv is koishu v'koishu. What's the Gemara saying? I loy din and lay. What the Gemara is saying is that to be a dayin, you also have to be someone who's ro'ui to be a nidoin. The two work hand in hand. If a person could be a nidoin in Bezdin, he could be a dayin. If he cannot be a nidoin, he cannot be a dayin. So I loy din and lay. If he cannot be a nidoin, the subject of the court case, how could he go and be a dayan on a court case? Well, if you have a pasuk, it's koishu v'koishu. If you want to go and adorn other people, to be mekashet them like with a beautiful adornment, then first you have to adorn yourself before you go over to the other guy. What do they say? A person who lives in a glass house shouldn't go and throw stones. So you got to be perfect if you want to try to perfect others. Our Mashkiach Ravol B'Zechon Levrucha said the word kshoit doesn't come from the word lekashet, from Lashon Tachshitim, or to be makashet someone, but rather it comes from the word emes. You say, for instance, Brich Shemeid, my only go and say, Araisik kshoit. If you want to convince somebody of the truth of whatever you're trying to convince them, if you want to be persuasive, it has to be truthful by you. That you have to be convinced of the truth. If you yourself have any doubts about the truth of something, and you try to convince someone, you'll never be able to be sufficiently persuasive. Because if you yourself have doubts, how can you convince the other person that this is emes v'yatz v'nochay? You yourself are not sure. Therefore, Zot Reish Lakish. If it's truthful by you, then you can make it truthful by others. Anyway, but we learn from this not just a Musa Haskel, we learn from this a Halacha, and the Halacha is, you can only be a Dayan if you can be a Nidayan. So that being the case, Freitach the Gemara Nachamul, Lechoyre both done, and done in Oisoi are Pshita. Because if you're going to go and tell me he cannot go and be the Nidoy, then he cannot go and be the Dayan. But I'm sure to check and the Chiozai the Dayan. So if he can be a Dayan, that means he can be the Nidoy. So what does the Mishnah come to tell you? Gesundheit. Since later on the Mishnah we learned already that a Melech, you cannot be Dan him and he cannot be a Dayan. To go and tell you the contrast between the Kohen Gadol and the Melech. Kidisanya comes to tell you like we learned in the Braisa. Kohen Gadol Shorikis and Nefesh, Bemezid Neherag. B'shoigig goyle, if Chas Hashem the Kohen Gadol killed someone, Rachman Litzlan, b'meizid, Nerag, he himself gets Misa, like any Rotzeach. If he killed someone b'shoigig goyle, he has to go into Golis, like anybody that is Chas Hashem kills b'shoigig. V'oiver al aseva al loisase, and he could be oiver on eses and loisases. And the Gemara is going to ask in a moment, no, of course he can be oiver al eses and loisases, no different than anybody else, of course. We'll ask, what does that mean? We'll get to that shortly. And he has a status like a hedged for all halachos. Although it says the Gemara of all halachos, obviously there are differences. Kohen Gadol cannot be metamel lemeis, like we learned in our Mishnah. Even those meisim who happen to be kroivim of his. We know Kohen Gadol has a difference also regarding bringing a korban chatos. He doesn't bring a kizba seira, he brings a par. But we mean legabe hilchois dayonim and legabe hilchois batidinim. He's a hedget l'chol devarav, as the Gemara will explain shortly on the Amid Beis. So therefore, now that I know this braisa, now I understand the Mishnah done v'don oisei. Hey, 1 second. The Gemara now analyzes this new braisa to see how do we have an answer to our question? Why does it say done with done and oisai? Shokti Mar, amazing nerag shita v'shteitzach. If the Kohen Gadol Nebuch is a bad guy and he killed someone, amazing. No, he's a reitzeach. He gets misa shita. V'shoyi goylet strichalei. The chiddush l'gab v'shoyi goylet. So tomorrow hanami pshita. Why not? So it's so good that I'm in a holy ksif. Anytime you have a reitzeach b'shoigeg, what does the Torah say? He stays in the Ori Miklot until the Kohen Gadol passes away. Amos, I might think called the Islay Takanta b'chazora ligli. Whoever has a takana that eventually he could be free from being the Ori Miklot, then legally he goes into Golis in the Ori Miklot. However, the Leslay Takanta b'chazora, a person that cannot ever return legally, I would think maybe he doesn't go into Golis. So what do you mean that he can never have a takana to go home? That now we learned in the Mishnah. Someone who kills a Kohen Gadol. Or a Kohen Gadol that killed someone else, Chas Hashalom, in both cases, b'shoigeg. And he yoyt b'shom li'oilam, he's stuck there in the ear miklat forever and ever. Now, why is he stuck in the base in the ir miklat forever and ever? L'choyra, after this Kohen Gadol Chas Hashalom killed, what's going to happen is they're going to have a replacement Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol who killed Bishoygeg is going to be in the Ari Miklat. He might be there for a day, for a year, for 10 years, and for 25 years. So during that period of time, who's going to go and bring the Kabbanis, for instance, every single Yom Kippur? Maybe throughout the whole year, you can have the Kohanim Hejoitim bring Kabbanis. However, the Kohen Gadol is the one that had to go and bring the Kabbanis in Kippur. So what are they going to do? So finally, there's going to be another Kohen Gadol. So why is there any Yoitim Yisham La'olah? So Toises adds an extra few words at the very top of the Omer, top of the Toises. And the Yoitim Yisham La'olah, Pirush, Uki Goyin Shloi Minu Acher Achen Nigmar Dinoi. It's talking about that when this Kohen Gadol was in Bezdin, and they were being done him, Chas Hashalom, either Lamisa, or to go into Golus, that during that period of time, there was no Kohen Gadol appointed from the beginning of the process until the Gemar Din. Ah, that being the case, even if they have a subsequent Kohen Gadol who is appointed, and that subsequent Kohen Gadol passes away, that will not relieve this Kohen Gadol Shaharag Esa Nefesh. because there has to be a Kohen Gadol that was there during the time of the proceedings at the time of the Gemara Din.
Why don't we talk about a Kohen Gadol who does tshuva? Why shouldn't he be able to go back even though...
Everybody can do tshuva, but that doesn't take away the stain of the person killing b'shoigig.
For you want.
Let's hear.
Because the question comes up, by Kohen Shahar does her message in the wartime...
Whether he's allowed to go dichur.
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. So some people, the difference today is, some say, a soldier, who's an Israeli soldier in Kohen, if he kills somebody in war, he's not allowed to do it.
And what did B'Vadi Yosef say?
B'Vadi Yosef says, he could.
He could, okay.
So this Chaluk Ideas,
exactly.
Whether a person could do tshuva or not.
All right, tshuva.
Question.
Anybody in prison does tshuva. It doesn't matter. It's not
a tshuva. If he's an army, he killed an Arab. It's not
tshuva. No, it says. He says a soldier.
Tzicha is not.
A soldier who killed. Arabs, Muslims,
what's
understand.
My tshuva? What do you mean?
But they did. Some Paiskim say that a person could do tshuva.
I didn't know you were asking a question. I thought you were responding to his question.
So I got to kill somebody, Mela. But a soldier, that doesn't do tshuva at all. Nothing wrong.
Anyway, Rabbi, we're getting off on a tangent.
Say is a soldier.
Thank
killed.
You.
I have a question about tomorrow.
Let's first address Rabbi Cohen's question. The question that you are raising, Rabbi Cohen, as always, is fascinating. However, it's really not directly on point. Whether or not the Kohen can or cannot go in Duchen, he should ask his competent Orthodox rabbi. For the purpose of our Gemara, all we need to know is that a person who goes into Golus because he killed someone, Chas v'sholem b'shogeg, this person can go and do tshuva 1,000 times, he can go and fast 100 or 1,000 tanesim, he cannot leave the Orei Miklat until the Kohen Gadol passes away.
There's a guy also regarding the Gemara.
Yes.
David Amelch describes himself as being busy all day, being deciding between two men to Hara and women bringing.
You all never called him Damashil Mishalia.
Right. It seems to be so. So this Gemara here,
why?
We have David Amelch being he's deciding these issues,
and
here he's saying Amelch lo dan. So he's not a judge. What's his name? Stira.
Judge means he cannot be on a bezin to go and decide a master matin between moment, hilchas moment, it's like dina moment is b'shloisha. He cannot be on a bezin to go and decide those types of cases. No, he can go. A melech can be a ruv. He can go and paskin, shaylas la'alocha, whether something mutz or something is awesome. Yes, sir.
This whole thing, it's like on Yom Kippur with mana achatachtov sef chas v'shalom, the kohen gadol becomes tomei. We have another one after, right?
Yeah.
Serious concept here?
You have to go and appoint another Kohen Gadol. You can't have the position lie empty forever.
But is normally doesn't the Kohen Gadol do, in theory, he does avoid every day?
He can, but to my knowledge, there's nothing that he has to do every day. Torahs can be brought by a regular person, can be brought by a regular Kohen, and the lighting of the menorah can be done by a regular Kohen. Normally, the Kohen Gadol used to go and light the menorah. Normally, he brought the Torahs, but he had a pious for the Torahs, and other Kohanim and Yotim can take it too.
You don't know he's going to kill somebody to appoint a.
This is ready. This is he's saying now. Well, no, Tosfos. It's during the din.
Exactly.
So if once there was hit the Jerusalem Post that the Kohen Gadol is on trial for a showing possible, so they could have.
The Yad didn't even publish it.
They could point somebody right away.
So says the Gemara. Since in such an instant the Kohen Gadol would be stuck. And he would not be able to be choizer, emaloi ligli. So I would think maybe we shouldn't have a chiv to send to Golis in the first place. Kamash molon, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, of this praisa, that yes, he does go into Golis, and therefore he's like everybody else, so to speak, and therefore that's pshat in our Mishnah, when it says, don v'don oisai, then when it comes to Hilchoy's going into Golis, he's no different than anybody else. Maybe Tachve Kohen Gadol should be an exception to the rule. He shouldn't have to go into Golis under those circumstances where he will never be able to leave the Orei Miklat if no other Kohen Gadol is appointed during his Din Torah. Every Makrot says in the Pasuk, kol roitzeach. Who's that kol roitzeach? Even the kohen gadol mamash, even the kohen gadol, also chas v'shalom who kills the shoygig, has to go to the orei miklod. Back to our brisa. Oiver al aseh va'alois aseh. The kohen gadol can be over on every aseh and every lois aseh. Freik timor loisagid li'ovar. What do you mean? We might have thought that he gets a free pass, that he doesn't have all the tarik mitzvahs. Of course, if chas v'shalom is over an aseh and a lois aseh, then he's like everybody else in Klal Yisrael. Whatever punishment is meted out to somebody's over an aseh and a lois aseh. Every mahalachik amar im overal asival lo isase hariyuk hedjer lechol devarim. Ah, these words go together, because back in the brayt in the Amud Aleph, there seem to be two separate concepts. It says kohen gadol shaharig is an efshim amazed nerak b'shoygig goyla overal asavi al lo isase varihu kehedjer lechol devarim. What the Gemara is saying is merge these two words or these two terms. He's oivral asaval loisese, and when he's oivral asaval loisese, he has a status like a hedge of the chol devar. What does that mean? Zogt Rashi on the fourth line, haruke hedge, that lidoin bish loisha. If Chas v'Shalom was oivr on a lav, and there were two edim that gave masra, and now this type of lav that they gave masra on was a lav shiyesh boy maisa, which is loikin olav. Okay, so he's like everybody else, and you take him to a bezin of three for purposes of deciding, does he get malchus or doesn't he get malchus? This, of course, is going according to the mandiyam in our Mishnah, that malchus b'shloisha, because if you remember, we had in our Mishnah another mandiyam that said that even malchus, you have to have a bezin of 23, because malchus, in a sense, like a shtik misa. Mara said, according to one man, the Omar, that you can go and say, instead of Arba Mises Bezin, Chomish Mises Bezin, because it doesn't say that literally, but it's saying it's also a form of Misa. Anyway, Machloik is 3 or 23. But the point is, if he's Oyven Asem, et Alois Asa, like everybody else. Now, why would there be the Over Alase? Understand, Alois Asa, of course, he gets Malkus like anybody else. But this is the Asse. So there's another Gemara Mitzvah we'll get to. The Gemara says that a person who's Oyven Asay and the Bezin says to them, hey, mister, how come you're not going into your sukkah during sukkahs? How come you're not going and eating matzah on Pesach night? Etc., etc. If a person doesn't listen to the Bezin, he ignores them, then Makin Oysay Achetetzi Nafshayi. The Bezin has the right to go and force him through, in a sense, Makas Mardis. It's not really Makas Mardis because it's an Asay, Nishkaloy Sasa, but the point is that they can go and give him Pech until he listens to and does the Asay. Anyway, so the Gemara Zot Pshita, of course, why should I think that the Kohen Gadol is above the law? Doesn't he have the same rules as everybody else? So, Kedai Techemen Ahoyu Utanan, Ein Don Olias Hashavit, Vilayas Novi Hashaker, Vilayas Kohen Gadol, El Alpi Bezin Shal Shim Vi Echad. I would have thought, because we learned in the first Mishnah Ar Mesachta, that when you're talking about a Shevet, or Navi HaShaker, or a Kohen Gadol, you have to have a Bezin not of 3 or 23, it's got to be a Bezin of 71. V'yom Revat about a Hava Kol Adobra Godli Yaviyah Elecha Devarav Shal Gadol. How do I know that Kohen Gadol needs 71? Because it says, Kol Adobra Godol Yaviyun El Moshe, and I interpret the words Gadol to mean Devarav Shal Gadol, things involving the Gadol, in this case the Kohen Gadol, is a Mekol Devarav Shal Gadol. I would think even the small cases involving the Gadol. For instance, what happened to the Kohen Gadol had a dispute about a loan, that someone owed him money, or he owed somebody else money. I would think, Kol Devarav Shal Gadol, you always need a Bezin of 71. Kamash Malon, no. Unless it's a capital case involving Chas v'Shalom, the possibility of Misa. Any other case, you have your regular Bezin of 3, or according to one man, the Yomar Malkis, 23. Maybe Kol Devarav Shal Gadol. So tomorrow, Miksid Divrei Gadol. Ha-dover ha-godol k'sif. Dover godol mamish. We're not talking about kol dvarav shel godol, but we're referring to, number one, the kohen godol, and number two, a dover godol. What a dover godol for our purposes? We don't mean that there was a loan of $1 million. Dover godol over here means chas v'shalom, a capital case, where he might be subjected to chas v'shalom, one of the arba mises, bezin. In such a case, you don't go to bezin of 23. Got a Bezin of 71. the Mishnah says Vayta Meid Umeiden Oisai. The Kohen Gadol can say Eidus, and we could say Eidus about him. Praytimor Meid, he can go and say Eidus. But Tanya, it's a pasnish that he should go and say Eidus. In other words, you have a regular individual, Iyankel, who needs a person to say testimony, and he says, Kohen Gadol, do me a favor, please come in and testify on my behalf. It's pasnish. What time we learned in the Braisa by Salamta? Now the Pashib Shan the Pasik is Loisira Eshoir al Chicha Oi Eseyoi Nidoch and Vesalamta Mehem. That means don't be misalem, but Hoshiv Teshibim Lochicha. Give back Chasashom and Aveda to your brother. That's a Parshib Shah. However, Chazal Dash V'Salamta, since it's written in a positive form, that sometimes you are allowed to go and ignore an Aveda. How can you ignore an Aveda? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you three cases. Okay, it's a Koyin Vuba Beis HaKvaris. What happens if the Aveda is in the Beis HaChaim, but it's readily visible to the Koyin outside? So I would think the Koyin should go in to Mekayim the Mitzvah of returning this Aveda, Hoshiv Teshivim, Zokta Teira Nei V'Salamta. You can ignore it. Zakven Lefik Voidai. If you have an elderly individual, and particularly a Zakin, a Greiser Talmud Chacham, if you tell him, look, there's a torn knapsack there lying in the street. Maybe you can go and find the person who lost it. And this Zakin should go and schlep it everywhere. It's pasnish for a Zakin to go and schlep around the knapsack. What happens if this person happens to be a rocket scientist? He receives $1,000 an hour for anything that he says. And if he's going to go and be busy returning an Aveda, he's afterwards going to have to send a bill to the person who lost the Aveda. It'll be worth more than the whole Aveda is worth. The whole Aveda is $25. And it'll take him 3 hours. It's going to be a $3,000 bill for the $25 Aveda. So in such, yes, Rabbi Kohler.
I'm trying to say, voices alim, it says loy.
Mm-hmm.
So how come the Gemara doesn't use the word loy?
There is a pasuk loises alim, but there's also a pasuk of v'salam to mehem.
How do you explain what you should or not?
So normally a regular individual, a regular commoner who's walking down the street, and he sees in the street an aveda, loises alim mehem, he's not allowed to hide and ignore it and close his eyes, like all the people on the subway when they see elderly people or they see pregnant women, all of a sudden they all fall asleep and they don't see anything. So you're not allowed to do that when you see an aved in the street, but Hashem Tashim, you have to go and return it. But since the Torah also says a lashon v'salamta mehem, although that v'salamta means loisira v'salamta mehem, don't ignore it but pick it up, but since it's written in a positive lashon, Chazal had the mesoida that you darshan that sometimes you can be misalim. And the Gemara gives us three examples. A koyim bebeis akvaris, meaning that the avedis bebeis akvaris, or zakvein lefi kvoidoi, or malach shalem merub mishal chavera, the kachna v'salam, to you are allowed to be misalim. So therefore, zokta the Gemara, how can you allow for the koyim gadol to be meyid? He is like the bechina of a zokin v'ein lefi kvoidoi, the pa'am shat in misalim. The koyim gadol should go and say, if Tom called me to Bezin that I should go and be meyid, and Tom is not a Kohen Gadol, I'm a Kohen Gadol, and therefore it's pasnish for my exalted status to go and be meyid in Bezin. Omer of Yosef, you're absolutely right. The Kohen Gadol is not meyid for any commoner, he's only meyid lemelech. If the melech needs the Kohen Gadol's edus, and he calls him, he summons him to Bezin, yeah, for the melech, yeah. One second. That's assuming that the Melech himself is involved in a din Torah. But we said in the Mishnah that the Melech, you cannot be dan him. So therefore, he wouldn't be in the Bezdin asking for people to be made. He cannot be made, and others cannot be made about him. How would the Kohen Gadol ever come and be made about the Melech? The Melech is not in the Din Torah, he's never in court. So what's going on? Elam Rabzeir, we don't mean that he's made Le Melech, he's made Le Ben Melech, for the viceroy, for the second in command, for the crown prince. Oh, Frey Timura, you can call him a crown prince as much as you want, but after everything is said and done, Ben Melech, Hedjid, he's still a Hedjid. and therefore weiter, how should the Kohen Gadol demean his high position and come to be meyed for a hedget? Ela meyed b'fnei ha-melech. We're not referring to being meyed for a ben melech. We're talking about he's going to be meyed when the melech is present as one of the dayanim of the Sanhedrin. Meaning, sorry? Doesn't the Gemara's kasha? Reb Simcha is mechavin to the Gemara's kasha. So before we get to the Gemara's kasha, the Gemara says that no, don't have to be sorry. I'm so delighted that Baruch Hashem, Gemara is mechavin to the Gemara's kasha. But the Gemara is telling us now that the Kohen Gadol, normally if he's called to Bezdin, does not have to be made. Sapasnished. However, if one of the Dayanim is the Melech himself, no, the Kavod HaMelech, the Kohen Gadol can go and be made in front of him when the Melech is one of the Chavrei HaSanhedrin. Freitach Reb Simcha, Vo'ein Moishiv Melech V'Sanhedrin. Didn't we just say now that a Melech, he cannot be Dan, he cannot be one of the Dayanim in the Sanhedrin. So Ibazoi, how is the Kohen Gadol appearing in front of him? Everything Gemara, you're absolutely right. Avada the Melech cannot be one of the Chavrei Sanhedrin. Rather, we go back to the prior teretz once again, that the Kohen Gadol is being summoned to go and say Eidus about the Ben HaMelech. We said Ben HaMelech is only a Hedjit, Emes. However, because the Kohen Gadol is being summoned to Bezin about the Ben HaMelech, the Ben HaMelech calls his father, the Melech, to sit in at the proceedings, not as a member of the Bezin, but rather to go and sit together with the rest of the Sanhedrin. And Mishum Yaakov the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol is such an exalted position, for Yaakov to go and show him that kavod, also kum darain the Melech, the Yosef, and he sits there, not mamish together with the Sanhedrin, a little bit on the side, and mekabli nil seduceh. He listens like all the other Chavri Abez, and he listens to the Eidus. Not that he has anything to say, but he only came in to appear at Yaakov the Kohen Gadol. The reason why the Kohen Gadol is there to go and say Eidus for the Ben HaMelech, and after the Eidus is over, Koihu, he, the Melech, stands up and he leaves. The Oz Amaynalei Anan Bedina, and then we, meaning the rest of the Chavri Sanhedrin, we stay in our places, and then we are done. We then go through the analysis and the judicial deliberations. So therefore, the only time that we would find that the Kohen Gadol would be made in court would be if he's being made about the Ben HaMelech, and the Melech is present there, so therefore he's not demeaning his high status by coming in front of a bunch of commoners. He's being made in front of the Melech. Yes, Barry.
Would that be intimidating to have the Melech and the Kohen Gadol sitting and just ordering? They're not saying, they're not pressuring, they just happen to be there. I would think it'd be very intimidating to the judges, like the pressure is on, you know.
And that's why, as soon as the Eidus is over, the Melech leaves and he goes back to his palace. At the time of deliberations, he's no longer there.
He's not giving Eidus. Why is it to be there? I mean,
he's only there to go.
He was not ordered by it. Moshe Feinstein, Yashav, not ordered by the Melech.
True.
So now the Melech leaves and the Kohen Gadol leaves, because the Kohen Gadol was there just to say Eidus. He goes home, the Melech goes home, and now the Sanhedrin is on their own, and now they decide whatever they have to decide.
I don't know about Rav Yashiv, but this day we learned in the Gemara that two Dayanim took out the scroll that said they weren't part of the Bezdin, and they didn't admit
it. Yeah, it's a fascinating Gemara.
No?
Yeah. Anyway, Gufa. Hey, Moshiv Melech Sanhedrin. We just concluded now a Melech cannot sit among the Chavri Sanhedrin. For the Melech the Kohen Gadol be Ibur Shona. And a Melech and Kohen Gadol cannot participate in the deliberations in the Ma'abra the Shona, whether or not we should go and add an extra month. And now the Gemara explains why. Melech Sanhedrin Dechsiv, Loisane al Riv. Loisane al Rav. The word Riv is written without a Yud. You pronounce it with a Chirik, so it's Riv. However, it's written without a yud, so you could read it, Lisan al-Rav. And this Lisan al-Rav means that once the Rav has issued his statement, you cannot go and argue with his statement. So if the Melech is going to be one of the Chavri Sanhedrin, as soon as he expresses his views, nobody will be able to go and dissent and say something else. Therefore, he cannot have him on the Sanhedrin, because by definition, every time he goes and expresses his view, everybody's going to have to follow after that. when it's coming to Ma'abed Hashana, again you cannot have the Melech, the Kohen Gadol. Why? Because each one has a Negia. Now what's the Negia? Melech Mishum Afsanya. What means Afsanya? Afsanya means that the Melech has to go and pay all of his chayil, all of his army, all of his soldiers. And now we have two pshatim in the Rashi. Both pshatim and the Maisa come out basically the same, but depends on what the original deal was. The way our Rashi learns was that originally the Kohen Gadol went and said that he gives out money per year. Meaning, he tells all of his army men, I'm going to give every one of my soldiers, Lemoshel, $10,000 a year. He doesn't go and tell them a month or a week, but a year. As far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, he's delighted if this year becomes an Ibiyur, because instead of giving him 12 months of service, they're going to give him 13 months of service. And therefore he has an Agia. Anytime we ask him, should we make it Ibiyur? Sure! In fact, Rashi uses an expression. He says, Halavai, that all years would be Mu'ubarais. Can you imagine? I only have to pay all of my workers for a 13 months of work, only based on 12 months' salary.
You mean king?
Yes. I'm talking about the king. So I'm saying, can you imagine if you were an employer and you had 1,000 workers? Can you imagine if you were the king and you have 1,000 workers? And you made up with them, all my workers, I'm going to pay you $10,000 per year. And then it becomes an Ibiyur, and I tell them, well,
yeah, three months.
Free month. See, if you look at Rashi, Mishum Afsanya, says Rashi, it's a little bit halfway down, a little bit past halfway down, Mishum Afsanya, Mechalik Mumin Chayeloisev Kach Vekach Lashonim. He goes and pays them annually. V'noyach Loshiyu Kol Ashonim Ubaris. Halavai, every single year will be Ashonim Ubaris. That's how Rashi learns. However, there's a second shot, which is basically the same shot, but in reverse. See what it says, Afsanya, there's a Zion in our Gemara. If you go to Mesoris Hashas, see, he says, from the Oruch, five lines in the top of the Maseres Hashas, which should be on the left hand. You don't have it on the left hand side, yeah? Top. You see, it says fifth line Zion Pirush, Ha'itzur Shenois LaChayeloisav Chodesh B'Chodesh. He was paying on a monthly basis, not like Rashi on an annual basis. He was paying on a monthly basis. V'Noitel Hamas B'Shana. He takes the annual tax income that was received in the treasury of the king from the taxes, and he allocates it and he divides it up 12 ways and to pay it out over 12 months. If at the end of the 12 months they're going to add a 13th month, I've already given out all my tax revenues. I have nothing left. I'm going to have to go and dig into my own treasury account. The Kohen Gadol says, I don't want Ibiyur this year. I'm sorry. My apologies, Rabbi Yisai. The Melech goes and pushes it off for the next year because he has this potential Negiah. So Rashi says the Negiah is he would want to make a Chodesh Me'ubar in those cases where he pays him annually. And the Aruch says he would not want a Chodesh Me'ubar if he pays him on a monthly basis. So basically the same concept.
It's in the Beis HaMerchatz case, we had the Ibriyor, and they argued, and the question is, they're paying him month to month, or they're paying for the whole year. Same
idea. Exactly. And what's the Kohen Gadol's Negiah? This is fascinating. The Kohen Gadol's Negiah is Mishem Tzina, because his feet are going to be cold. What does it mean his feet are going to be cold? The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, as we know, has to go and be toivel. How many times?
Five
times. And how many times is Kiddush Adam Raglayim?
Ten
times. If it still happens to be August, September, so the water is still relatively warm, and the air and the climate is relatively warm. So it's nishuzay gefarlich to go five times in a mikveh and to do Kiddush Adam Raglayim ten times. But what happens if it's now September, August? September, October. That we've added an additional chodesh, and now we are pushing off Yom Kippur by 3 or 4 weeks. It's going to be cooler. The water is going to be colder inside the mikveh, and the water is going to be colder in the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. And therefore, he would prefer that there not be a chodesh me'ubar. He would prefer that there be a regular year, and don't add a year, don't add a month to push it off. That's it. apparently, at least in the times of this Gemara, and in the times of September, October, they didn't heat the mikveh. Maybe by January, February. But they didn't have it at this time.
But there's a whole thing that...
Well, they added Barzel,
The floor itself is cold.
Rabbi, so let's look at the Rashi, Kohen Gadol. Let's say Rashi. Kohen Gadol, look to Rashi, Kohen Gadol. Ein roitche shetis abir shana. He doesn't want the ibiur. Nehatzina, because of the cold. Shetzarech litvoil. Ulekadosh b'yom kippurim chomish tvilos v'asar kedushin v'intes abishan are tishrei b'marcheshvin v'tzinas marcheshvin tia b'tishrei. In September you're gonna feel October weather. Tzitzan kaltra beisai. Because of that, the Kohen Gadol is going to insist. Please, I know insist, but at least he will be noita not to make a chodesh mu'uber, not to make a shana mu'uberes. Because to do so would cause him his own potential cult. Yes, you're right, in the base of Moike there was a fire, no question about it. But remember, the Kohen Gadol doesn't have a lot of time to go and suntan next to the fire on Yom Kippur. He's got to be running back and forth. Well, maybe this mikveh they didn't do it. Or maybe they did it when it was cold. Anyway, this is what we all cautious of Amasa, but bottom line is, that's the reason why he had the gear. One second, we also have a kasha. Yes, Reb Simcha.
Maybe means that one extra push off Yom Kippur one month, so it's the heat becomes much more cold. In other words, the each kind, because Elul's man is, you know, all of a sudden, Shiva, and it's closer to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, that's unparalleled. So you push more for a month, you say Tzina, the each kind, and that's why Shekhar Kamadarach, we don't, the Kohen Gadol is, he's obviously not just the Kohen Gadol, he's also the Shliach of Klal Yisrael. And he feels the tzina, not maybe physically, but spiritually for the Klal Yisrael.
Perhaps the reason why Rashi doesn't give you a pshat is because Rashi may say he's being melamed zchus on yin, forget. Klal Yisrael is very happy they have an extra month to do tshuva. Not that we are pushing it off and they become cult, they become more heis. Baruch Hashem, not one hell, zwei hells, mit der davene, mit der tshuva, mit der davene, mit der ganze soros. So therefore they have an extra month to go and do further tshuva. But anyway, but it's a very interesting shot that
you
gave me, Shimon Zin.
They have to walk barefoot on the stone.
Yes, that's correct. So that also adds to the discussion.
They don't mention that at all.
That's also uncomfortable.
That seems to be more of a problem. The question is, what happened in January when it was snowing and all the Kohanim walked around?
They had a doctor there, two of them for their own.
We have a doctor here too, so Baruch Hashem, the doctor will take care of it.
No, I was thinking about that. I don't think it was cold because I think there was shit. There was blood all over.
Ah, so therefore that warmed it up. Okay, Konzai.
I didn't see it.
Anyway, Emet Shem will be zeichet to see it, but Kor of Mamish with her own eyes.
Tosfos says exactly the pshat before.
Yeah, what does Tosfos say?
He said why Mecham come Gemish Mecham Yom Kippurim?
Yeah.
And the Parish from Trias Haritz Pashvala Yom Hayoyim
Dr. Goldfarb. Tosfos Mishem Tzina.
Yeah.
Pesach couldn't be shem shekoyin gadol toin tefila.
What's your answer? What's their answer?
No, it's colder, so the stone floor is cold. They staying all day. So it's harder for him.
That's your pshat.
If it's a little warmer, then he gets more sun.
Dr. Goldfarb, that's your pshat. He was standing there barefoot, and the ground is cold.
Yeah.
It's made out of stone, so therefore it's freezing.
The whole day.
Ricky, be happy. Tosi says you're pshat. Smile. Don't be upset. The teretz is that the reason why this tzina, the reason why he's concerned, is because Marcheshvin is colder than Tishrei. That the feet are going to be cold.
So how do they survive?
They're cold.
Every single day, the Kohen Hedyon, when his feet get cold, he's going to go into the base of Moik and he's going to warm up. The Kohen Gadol is busy the whole time running back and forth. He doesn't have time to go and suntan.
A month is
a good reason.
What's, it's a beautiful reason. It's good.
All day he's busy. It's half an hour. All day he's busy.
This is the answer that you were giving for 5 minutes. Now we give you the answer. You're upset with the answer. So go back to the first chat, okay? Some people you can never satisfy.
That's
a good answer. Mendy always says good tach. Omer Papa. Shmamina. We see from this shota basar yarcha ozel that the weather of the year depends on the month that could have been and should have been had it not been for the Iber Shana. In other words, when we are now in Tishrei. Don't think of the weather. Oh, it's Tishrei. Well, Tishrei, we know what Tishrei weather is like. No, no. When you come to Tishrei, think about the fact that this was an Ibiyur. So really, it should be Mar Cheshvin, had it not been for the extra month. And Mar Cheshvin is already much cooler. So therefore, if you're going to go Sukkot time in the Sukkah, and you say, well, I know what Sukkot is like in Tishrei. It's normally it's very nice weather. It's warm enough. Remember, if it's an Ibiyur, it's 1 month later. You can have the cold temperature of Mar Cheshvin. You have three shepherds that are schmoozing among themselves, and the rabbanon that are about to go mi'ma'avad shana are listening to this conversation. And this conversation is a little bit difficult to follow because we have heavy duty Aramaic that you don't typically have in a regular Gemara. And the three roim are talking. Chad omer, one shepherd says to the others, in Bokir Velokish Khada Yenitz Dain Hu Adar Vimlav Less Din Adar. It's now other time, and one of the shepherds says to the other, in Bokir, Bokir means the Tvua that ripens early, like the Lashon Bikurim or Bechar. This is referring to barley which ripens earlier than Chitim. Velokish, and those grains which take time to go and ripen, like chitim, like wheat, if the two are kechod yenet, if they're going to go and sprout both at the same time, now in this month, then this month is taka a good adar. Vimlav, however, if you find that it's premature, and the two are not able to go and sprout now, less than adar, then it's still shvat. In other words, it's premature. And, as we'll see, the Chum heard that, and they said, no, I bazai, we have to go and add an Oder Shaini, because this is not Oder, it's Shvat, as he's looked at the first shepherd. V'chad Omer, and the second one said, in Toir, the word Toir means like Shor, if an ox, Bitzvar is like Bitzafra, in the morning, Bitlag, Tlag literally means Bishelek, means in snow, but here it means, says Rashi, in Kor Vitzina, it is so cold, if I let my ox stand outside in the morning, Yomus, it's going to die. Ubatira, but by the time it comes the afternoon, the sun is out and it's shining. Betul te'ena yidmuch. This same shore is going to go under the fig tree to go and get some toil, to get some tzeil, some shadow and some shade. And not only that, yishla moshchei. But from the nice sun, it's going to go and start scratching itself against the fig tree. Oh! If that's the type of weather where in the morning it's cold, in the afternoon it's so hot, then that's taka other month. If not, in other words, if it's cold both in the morning and the afternoon, less than adar. This is nish adar, this is shvat. And the third one said, I have another way of testing the weather, and that is in kidum. Kidum is some lashon kedma mizracha, therefore it's referring to the eastern wind. Takif, if it is still strong throughout the winter, the eastern wind is very strong and brings the cold into the person's bones. If it's still strong at this time, lechod yehei, that means it's still remaining in its strength. But yofa beluach, not for the kibbleh. But nevertheless, if a person blows into the wind, he can push away the cold wind. It's not that strong like the rest of the winter month. It's already warmed up sufficiently that I can go and blow my own breath into the wind, and it kind of pushes away the coldness of the wind. If that's the case, then it's odd. The imlav, if it's so cold that I blow into the wind and the wind kind of blows it back or it has no effect, less than adar, then it's only shvat. The abrua rabbanon lehishata, and the rabbanon went and with ma'abah the year based on these three statements of these three shepherds. Apparently, each one of these three was right, meaning that in fact you went outside and you saw that the tvua was not ripened yet for both the barley and the wheat, and therefore it's only chodesh shvat. And in fact, if the shor went out in the morning, it could die from the coldness, and in the afternoon it would not be warm, it would still be cold. And the third man, the Yomar, it was still a very cold wind, and if you blew into it, the cold wind would be stronger than your breath. So therefore, all three of them were right, it's taka chodesh shvat. And the Rabbanan went, and the Ma'abed Shana, based on these these statements and these observations. Okay, so what do we see from that? Yes, what's this?
First two makes a lot of sense. Right?
Yeah.
It corrupts the same fund. The other one also with... the third one is, it's fakert.
Yeah.
Shvat is before Adar.
Shvat is always before Adar.
What?
Shvat is always before Adar.
So if the wind is stronger, Shvat should be colder. It's wind.
Agreed.
It should be colder.
If you blow against it, Simi, it doesn't do any good. You can't fight it.
Right. So then,
still Shvat, still winter. It's still too cold to fight the cold.
That's what he's saying here.
Exactly. Therefore, it's still Shvat. And if you blow against it...
And it comes back at you, no, that means
it's cold. No, but you dispel it a little bit. The wind is not so strong. The winter wind is not so strong.
In other words... It's saying the other is the wind is less than Shvat.
Exactly, okay. It's less strong. Okay. Let's look at the Rashi right before the wide lines. Im kidum takif lechode yehei yofa bluacha nufik lekabli. Right, everybody has that.
Im
kvar toshes koyach choyed of kokach. It's weakened enough. Shikshei ruach mizrach es chazaka miyoid. Normally, when the Zeruch Mizrach is very strong, it brings the coldness. The Atam Anashe B'picha, if when you blow out your breath with your own mouth, your Neficha is stronger. In a sense, it warms up the Ruach right outside you because you're stronger, your breath is stronger. That what, when you can blow as much as you want, you're blowing in vain because it's still freezing. Less than Adar, Elo Shvat. Anyway, what do we see from this Gemara? Look on to the next Rashi. Vavruo Rabban, Zuk Rashi. Vasu Kishvat. They said, based on these three statements of the three shepherds, yeah, we're going to make it like Shvat. Shekova Oda Sheni Achrav, that they added it on the Sheni. Alma, what do we see from this? That Shata Basar Ibura Azul, Vloy Nohaga Choyim to Nisim Ba'adar, El Minik Adar Ba'adar Asheini. Meaning, as a result of adding that extra month, now Adar is taka going to be Adar. In other words, it's freezing cold out here and still feels like Shvat. You're right. Add another Chodesh Adar, so that at the end of Adar Sheni, it'll feel taka like Adar. And then when Nisan will come, it'll feel like Nisan. And the Gemara is asking, but before we said that whenever we make an Ibiyur, think of Tishrei as being Marcheshvan. When you go out to the Sukkah, don't think, oh, it's Tishrei, oh, it's always warm in Tishrei, I don't need a sweater. No. If it's an Ibiyur, think about the fact that it's taka Chodesh Mu'ubr, that it's Marcheshvan now. And take along a sweater, make sure that you are going to be warm. Didn't we just say now, based on these three statements, that we look at the month that we've added, that this is the real month? Not that we look upon it as what it could have been or should have been had we not made an Ibiyur. So the Gemara Tizvara, Rabban Arab Avsa Samach. Let me ask you a question. When the Rabbanan go and make a decision about Ibiyur, they go and ask three shepherds. Usually shepherds are ignorant people, and in certain Gemaras it says that Royim are also Gazlonim, because they're constantly letting their animals go and graze elsewhere. So these would be the people to go and decide policy of the Gabi Ibiyur. El Rabban Achush Ben Nayu Samach. Avada Navada, the Rabbanan go according to their Cheshbonis. Like we had the Cheshbonis on Shabbos, when you're trying to make the new Tkufa, if it's going to be 16 days into the new Tkufa, 20, 21 days and 20 days, what the new Tkufa is Maschel, is Goymer. You remember the exciting Gemara we had on Shabbos. So this is the bread, so to speak, that the Rabbanan have to deal with in trying to decide Ibiyur, yes or not. For Ibakar, you just say, yeah, Milzayu. Gerada, they were passing by and they listened to the Ibakar and they said, yo, what they're saying is taki accurate, because our Cheshbonis have told us we're going to make an Ibiyur, and we hear that the commoners, the common people also support the idea, and they concur. Therefore, they took the concurrence as a sign of that people agree with the decision. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai.